Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Santa H., and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from New Jersey. Today is March 20th, 2017. Today we're reading from the Big Book on page 16, the first paragraph that begins with "An Alcoholic in His Cups." Today's readers are The 12 Steps, Sarah S., The 12 Traditions, Marietta P., and reading the literature today are Carmela G., Judy S., and Lisa B. The share ID for Sunday, March 19, 2017, our special edition meeting is 9739. 9739. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Sarah S. to please read the 12 steps.
Good morning, Santa and Vision for You. My name is Sarah S. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater in Maine. Step 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Step 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Step 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Step 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Step 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Step 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Step 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Step 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Step 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thanks so much for letting me share and have a wonderful day.
And thank you, Sarah S. I will now ask Marietta P. to read the 12 traditions.
Hi, this is Marietta P. from Virginia. Grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards and or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions. Every reminder is place principles before personalities, and I pass and have a blessed day. Thank you.
And thank you, Mary Etta P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 16. We'll be finishing up the Bill story. We're going to be reading starting at the first paragraph, beginning with an alcoholic in his cup, reading 3 paragraphs ending, widening circle of peace on earth and goodwill to men, and comments on them all. I will now ask Carmela G. to begin reading.
Good morning. This is Carmela G. from New York. Thank you for allowing me to do service. I'm a grateful compulsive overeater in recovery for today. Thank you, God. An alcoholic in his cups is an unlovely creature. Our struggles with them are variously strenuous, comic, and tragic. One poor chap committed suicide in my home. He could not or would not see our way of life. There is, however, a vast amount of fun about it all. I suppose some would be shocked at our seemingly worldliness and levity, but just underneath there is deadly earnestness. Faith has to work 24 hours a day in and through us, or we perish. Most of us feel we need look no further for utopia. We have it with us right here and now. Each day, my friend's simple talk in our kitchen multiplies itself in a widening circle of peace on earth and goodwill to men. Bill W., co-founder of AA, died January 24, 1971. The first sentence says it all. When I was in disease, an alcoholic in his cups is an unlovely creature. No matter how much I would spend on an outfit or makeup or manicure or trying to change the outside, I couldn't hide the fact that I weighed over 300 pounds, but I thought I could. That was the sick mental twist of the disease. I thought that you didn't notice and that I could get away with things. And then when I would go out and eat on a beautiful silk blouse, all of a sudden, maybe there was a spot of chocolate or gravy or something on that gorgeous blouse. And that became an unlovely creature walking around. Thank God for this program, because we learn through program that we are worth more than what we are putting in our mouths, that we are worth the work that we do every day. And for that, I am grateful. And I tell my higher power that I call God how grateful I am. And then we look no further for utopia, because we are living in it every day, provided we work the steps and work the program and surrender. Thank you for allowing me to share.
And thank you, Carmela G. And who would like to comment for approximately 3 minutes on what was read?
Tina S.
Rivka A.
Larry K.
Kim D.
Chrissy G.
Okay, lift up right there. This is who I have. Tina S., Kathy K., Rivka A., Larry K., Kim G., and Chrissy G. Good morning, Tina S.
Good morning, Santa. Thanks so much for your service, Tina S., recovered compulsive eater anorexic in Florida. What great paragraphs to read. And, you know, and the first thought that came to mind is I didn't come here on a winning streak. I didn't come here because I had nothing else to do. I came here because there was no place else to go. And so an alcoholic in his cups is an unlovely creature was so the description of myself, you know. And, you know, and I always say to myself, if I could have eaten successfully, I would have, and I'd still be doing it. If I could have eaten intuitively, I would have, and I'd still be doing it. You know, that's just for me. And, you know, one of the things that I like that it talks about, that there is, however, a vast amount of fun about it all, you know. And if that weren't the case, I wouldn't be staying, you know. I know certainly I've had a psychic change through the process of the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, Overeaters Anonymous. But if I were not enjoying myself, I would not still be here. And I, too, you know, I don't think I need to look any further, because I am getting what I want today. And you know, and I continue to do that on a daily basis, by practicing these principles in all of my affairs, and I continue to do that. So, you know, I'm not looking for any place else to go. I'm looking to do the best that I can to be a servant of God through the process of the of Overeaters Anonymous and 12-step programs, period, for me. And so I love that it says, each day my friend's simple talk in our kitchen multiplies itself in a widening circle of peace on earth and goodwill to men. And that has been my experience, and I'm so grateful that this has happened and that co-founders have passed it along for us. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
And thank you, Tina S. And good morning, Kathy K.
Thank you, Santa, for your service. Good morning, everyone. This is Kathy K., recovered in Boston. Yes, an alcoholic in his cups is an unlovely creature. I was that, and I didn't even really know it until I started to do the work of the 12 steps. I was so busy trying to make my way in the world and seeking external recognition and achievement that I didn't see what I was in the world, who I really was in terms of my very low moods, my self-centered fear, my overeating, despite the fact that I was a diabetic and was killing myself with food. It was really an unlovely sight. And I, for many years, I got some of the program, but because of what I heard at my very first meeting, take what you want and leave the rest, I left a lot of this program behind. I left the spiritual underpinnings of our 12-step program behind, and therefore it was many years before I actually understood the earnestness with which I needed to work this program. When it says faith has to work 24 hours a day in and through us or we perish, I know that today, and I really have to practice and work at being connected with my higher power during every waking hour. It does not come naturally to me. It never has. And yet I know it's probably the most important aspect of this program and what makes it possible for me to be a positive force in the world. And I love the imagery that, you know, where Bill ends with, each day my friend's simple talk in our kitchen multiplies itself. I feel like finally I'm part of that conversation, and that with each action and share and question that I pose, I'm widening the circle of people who are really finding peace in this world. And I'm grateful to be a part of that. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Kathy K. And good morning, Rivka A.
Well, thank you so very much. My name is Rivka A, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm in Israel. And thank you so much for your service, and good morning to all the listeners there across the waters. I want to share a little bit about that first line and the second, the third line. An alcoholic in his cups is an unlovely creature, an unattractive lady, unpleasant, not very nice, not very loving. That was me. And, you know, today I really am truly trying to make, with the help of the God of my own understanding, to make a change in a specific area. I'm living in steps 10 and 11 and 12. And I understand that by doing so, I have to contain this willingness, maintain a willingness to allow the God of my own understanding, a loving God, which is very important to me. That word loving has come up for me recently, to be loving to myself. Because I was so unloving to myself, unkind, not really thinking about myself or interested in others, I was not very attractive, even to those that were close to me, such as my husband, beginning there. Let's start in the home. Of course, there are the parents, the children that we affect. And because of my temperament, I set the thermostat of, the temperature in the home. And if I'm miserable, well, everybody else is going to be on eggshell. So I need to keep a handle on that with the power greater than myself. That step three, where we made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God. I looked up that word care. It is about love, the love of God, the care, the protection of God, the concern of God, the God who's interested in me, whereas I was not interested in me. I was only interested and wanted the next bite. I only was concerned about me, the Johnny One Note, all about me, me, me. So, you know, it's a daily acknowledgement and admittance that I am still a compulsive overeater, that I need the help of a power, that source, the loving guidance and protection of God. I also want to touch note on page 59 again on how it works, where it says we asked his protection and care with complete abandon. You know, the protection and care that I'm needing with complete abandonment is from myself. I have to ask that power, that source, to protect me against that next bite, that next mental twist, that obsession, and the allergy of the body, because a sick mind is in an unhealthy body. Thank you. So, again, turning my will and my life over, a change in my attitude and a willingness to put forth the effort. That suicide word, I was that. I had those suicidal tendencies and thoughts, but today, by the help of God and this program and the steps, they are spiritual and powerful enough to change me. So with that, I pass. Thank you so much for listening.
And thank you, Rivka A. And good morning, Larry K.
Good morning, Santa. Good morning. I'm Larry K., recovered compulsive reader from Chicago. You know, when I read this, you know, I'm reminded, that word utopia, when Bill was writing this book, from what I understand, he wanted it to read, most of us feel we need to look no further for heaven, for, you know, they decided, now, you know, let's use the word utopia. You know, most of us feel we need look no further for utopia. We have it with us right here and now. And, I looked for utopia before I got to this program in lots of areas. I remember a guide before I had my first liposuction surgery. This is where my mindset was. And it said, feeling great, utopia, your guide to liposuction. And it told me, one of the things it told me is it said, you know, I read this thing and it said, making some improvements in your appearance can make a big difference in how you feel about yourself. Even subtle changes are enough to reignite excitement about your life. And then it said, as you start to feel excited about something, you fuel positivism back into your life, resulting in a boost of self-confidence, change in perspective, and an increase in overall happiness. Boy, I really searched for this utopia in lots of things before I got here. See, I was crushed inside. I was empty inside. There was no positive feelings inside. I was eating myself to death. I was dead. I was like the walking dead. Every day I was alive. I was breathing. Someone on the line right now can probably relate. I was breathing, but I was dead inside. And I felt no hope. And it wasn't until I came into this program, see, liposuction surgery, anything to make yourself thin, then I'll be happy. None of those were the answer. The answer was in these steps. I didn't know it when I came in here. I didn't know the answer would be in the steps. I didn't know that they would change me, that the physical changes were very minor in terms of how God would change me. And God would do the heavy lifting. I would just eventually be convinced to work some steps in sequence. And when I did find utopia. I did find that change where I could now live in the world and I feel alive, even in the midst of calamity and challenge and all sorts of difficult circumstances. I can feel alive today. The gift is in these steps. The steps transformed me. They restructured me inwardly so that today I'm not the same man that I used to be. Thank God for Alcoholics Anonymous. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Larry K. Good morning, Jersey girl. Kim G.
Right back at you, Jersey girl. My name is Kim G. We are so obnoxious in Jersey, I'll tell you. But hopefully I'll see everybody in Jersey in September, though. Don't be afraid of Jersey. My name is Kim G, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from South Jersey. Each day, my friend's simple talk in our kitchen multiplies itself in a widening circle of peace on earth and goodwill to men. Oh, that's so beautiful. And how does that happen? How does that happen, that widening circle? That's not action. This is not a passive program.
You know, I love the chapter working with others. And for me, I had to, you know, I had this word sponsor in my head, and I had a lot of prejudices about what that meant. And that chapter working with others opened my mind. You know, that I wanted it to be broadened. Working with others is every interaction I have with someone who is still suffering. You know, I tell my sponsees when they get there to ask themselves, you know, like, first of all, return phone calls. That's the biggest complaint I have from people. Nobody returns my phone calls. You know, with meetings, I heard this yesterday at a meeting that my home group, this girl said, well, I used to treat OA as meetings as a gas station. I would go there and I would fill up and I would leave. And now my job to come to a meeting is to help others. And I realized that's what I did. I did drive-by meetings, 5 minutes late, 5 minutes early, and I am out of there. And I have to tell you, it was beautiful. I left my home group yesterday, and we have instituted a step one discussion, so we have someone taking the new people through some step one stuff. There were two other groups of people that were working the steps, and even when I left in the lobby, there was somebody else working with the newcomer. And I was leaving because I was going with some women, and we did some 10-11 work at Wegmans. I mean, that's what this is about. It's the one-on-one work in the kitchen that is Alcoholics Anonymous. That is where we get this benefit from. You know, in my mind, sponsoring was, I was a diet buddy and I was a life coach. I was saying in step three, I can't manage my own life, and in step 12, I was trying to manage other people's lives. So what do I do now? I teach the steps. The point is for me to help you get a relationship with a higher power, not a relationship with me. I'm going to try to wean you off of me as quickly as possible so you can get relying on a power greater than you and a power greater than me. You know, ask yourself, if you're working with others, when's the last time you did a fifth step? You know, I remember a member of AA saying that she didn't feel a part of AA until she took 25 fifth steps, and I thought that was ridiculous because I hadn't taken 5 fifth steps in the 17 years that I was in OA, and sometimes I took them in when I was in relapse. But I have to tell you, as someone who averages 2 fifth steps a month, absolutely. That's where I feel connected with my higher power. That's where I feel connected with this fellowship. And I'm just going to end with this. For people who think this is a little bit extreme, what I'm saying, that sentence, faith has to work 24 hours a day in and through me or we perish. I understand this is my life, and I will perish if I do not continue this work. And thank you, God, I had that opportunity on a daily basis. And with that, I pass.
And thank you, Kim G. And another Jersey girl, Chrissy G. Good morning to you.
Hi, Santa. It's Chrissy G, recovered. Can you hear me?
I sure can.
In New Jersey. The faith that has to work in and through us, that's the part that I wanted to talk about, because I am so grateful that I know that is how to live a happy life these days. I did think that to get other people to think that I was terrific or important or good enough or worthy of being around was the purpose and point of my life. But living in faith is the purpose and point of my life today. And so that means, I mean, in very practical terms, it means, you know, when I'm talking to somebody about how do you endure the feelings and emotions that come up when you put down the food, like in the wee hours of the morning, on those first days that you're putting down the food, first weeks, first months, first, maybe huge upset that happens when you're recovered. How do you live through that? How do you live through that? And it's definitely with faith. That's the way that you do it. And it's not faith isn't knowing that the outcome's going to be good or what's going to happen or that everything's going to go my way. That's not what faith is. Faith is a decision that ultimately there is a loving creator. This is for me, that there's a loving creator, and at the end of the day, all will be well. You know, not in my terms, on my timetable, but that I have trust, just like a child does with the parent, have trust that I don't know what's going on, I don't get it, but I do have faith in you, in what you are bringing me to and through. And so if I live that way, I don't have to go pick up the food and have the efforts, because that's what happens when faith isn't working in and through me. It's like, why should I suffer these feelings right now when I know I'll get temporary relief for 5 seconds? When when the, at the end of the day, I don't know what the heck's going to happen to me. I could go to hell in a handbasket for all I know. No, that's not my faith. My faith is that everything's going to ultimately be fine. And that is utopia, to live like that, to walk around regardless of what's going on, to believe that ultimately everything's going to be okay. Not even okay. Everything's going to be great eventually. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Chrissy G. Okay, if you're just joining us, we are on page 16. We're finishing up the Bill story today, and we're commenting on the last remaining paragraph that begins with an alcoholic in his cups. And to continue on, who would like to comment for approximately 3 minutes?
Lisa B.
Lisa B.
E. Barbara E.
Oh, Barbara E.
Melissa.
Reva P.
Anthony S.
Reva P. I heard a male voice.
Anthony.
Who was that? Anthony?
Yes.
And your initial of your last name, please?
S, like Sam.
Anthony S. Okay, I have Lisa B, Barbara E, Melissa C, Reva P, and Anthony S. Good morning, Lisa B.
Good morning, Santa. Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Thank you. This is Lisa B., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Greenville, South Carolina. Oh, my goodness, this is amazing reading. An alcoholic in his cups. That speaks to me about the mental aspect of my disease. That's the worst aspect of my disease. In that, just that horrible mental anguish. And then the other thing that comes to me when it says one poor chap committed suicide, he could not or would not see our way of life. And that reminds me in How It Works, where it says, without help, it is too much for us. But there is one who has all power. That one is God. May you find him now. And then earlier, before that, it talks about that their chances are less than average because they don't have the ability to be honest with themselves. And that's the thing that this program requires, rigorous honesty. Honesty is the first thing that goes as I start to step and slip into my disease. But when it talks about there is one power, may you find him now. I could never be in the now, in the present moment, in the now, when I'm active in this disease. And then it says here, vast fun. That takes me to in the 12 and 12, where it talks about the joy of living, you know, in the step 12. I'm free. I have a solution. I've been rescued. I have been resuscitated from death by following these steps. You know, I was drowning, and I didn't know it. It reminds me of, I hate the example of that poor Mr. Frog that's in the water, you know, and they turn the water on, and they just slowly, slowly cook the poor thing, and then he dies. That's what this disease is like. That's what it's been like for me. And then the utopia, it is a utopia because I know who and what I am today. I belong. I'm a part of. I don't feel separate, and I can be useful. I can be helpful where others can't. I do have a message to share, and that reaching out to others is the solution for me in carrying this message and keeping this wonderful message alive. And, this ever-widening peace on earth, I harmed people all the time. I never was aware of what it was like for other people to be on the receiving end of my total self-centeredness, self-focus, and even narcissism. And now today, I do pray that God would show me how I can be useful to the next person. And I'm seeing that I do make a difference, even to the customer service reps, you know, that I deal with on the phone. I can try and be kind and loving. And then I think that's it. You know, the faith that has to work 24 hours a day, the message of depth and weight gave me the faith. Once I admitted that I was powerless, I began to have that faith, and that carried me through the steps. And the action is really what gave me the faith. So with that, I pass.
And thank you, Lisa B. And good morning, Barbara E. from New Jersey.
Thank you so much. This is Barbara E. Thank everyone who's spoken before me today. Someone said, I believe perhaps it might have even been on this meeting, willpower all by itself is about as effective a cure for my compulsive eating as it is for curing cancer. And I just added, and my destructive behaviors. I had to have a total destruction of my self-centeredness. And for me, my higher power comes gradually, and I have to offer myself unreservedly. I do believe I have to reach out to others, and that has been a saving grace for me between Overeaters Anonymous and any other of the many, many programs that I tried where I was totally unsuccessful. I had to remember and have to remember to constantly employ the principles of the program, all 12 of them, honesty, hope, faith, courage, integrity, perseverance. Oh, perseverance was so important to me. I told no one when I joined Overeaters Anonymous because I was sure my family would be skeptical because I tried and failed for so many years before I came in here. But I did feel that this might be the design for living that I could embrace, and that my journey would come slowly. But if I was faithful to it and stuck to it, I would succeed with everyone's help. One of my sponsees recently said to me that he always tells his sponsees, "May your journey be a slow one." And I laughed and I thought about it, how true it is, because it's for me, it's not the destination, it's not the getting thin, it's the learning and relearning and being willing to learn, being teachable. And that's what I'm finding here at this 7 a.m. meeting and through the people I meet at the face-to-face meeting and the readings and everything. So I thank you all. I can't wait to hear more. With this, I pass.
And thank you, Barbara E. And good morning, Miss Larissa C. Good morning to you.
Hi. Good morning, Santa. Good morning, everyone. It's Melissa C., recovered compulsive overeater in New York. And, you know, I'm thinking about how this began, you know, sitting at a kitchen table between Bill and his friend. And I'm really reflecting on that really personally because, you know, over the weekend, I had a party at my home and, you know, it was for St. Patrick's Day and there was definitely a lot of drinking and eating there. And my closest girlfriend, you know, I believe she's one of us, I think, you know, and wants so much to share this program. I know she sees my recovery, you know, and I'm fearful that she just could not or would not see this way of life. And, you know, and so they were at my home over the weekend and, you know, she had way too much to drink and I urged them to spend the night, you know, just stay over. You know, that's the best I could do in that situation. She didn't need my lecture. You know, she didn't need me to say, like, my God, you've gained so much weight or you've drank enough, you know. And but Sunday morning, you know, I got up bright and early and I put my meeting on like I normally would. And it's on the speakerphone. I'm downstairs and everybody's in and out of the kitchen. And she did sit down at the kitchen table. You know, I was sitting there. I was drinking my coffee and I'm listening to the meeting and I have my book in front of me. And then she did start asking me questions. You know, I don't know what her takeaway was, you know, and I think about Bill and how, yeah, this work is heartbreaking. You know, I pray to God no one commits suicide in my house. But I also think about what I've heard here on the line that, you know, when I carry the message, it's 100% successful for me. You know, I can't guarantee anyone else, you know, and but I have to remain faithful to this way of life and just keep the people that are suffering around me in my prayers. You know, that's the best I could do. Thank you. And then I'll pass.
And thank you, Melissa C. And good morning to you, Reba P.
Good morning. It's Reba P., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, currently in Florida. Yay, the weather is gorgeous. What I want to share on is two things. The first thing is faith has to work 24 hours a day in and through me or I perish. And that reminds me of the sentence that says, half measures avail me nothing. If I do 50%, I don't get 50% results. If I do 50%, I get zero. And it's the same thing, 24 hours a day. If I only go to a meeting for the 1 hour in the day, or I look at a quick OA reading for 5 minutes in the morning and then get on with my day and leave God in the drawer, it doesn't work. And I was at a conference, and you know what? Things did not go my way before, during this conference. And this reminds me, my disease does not take a vacation. I don't leave my big books at home and, you know, I'm on vacation here or I'm on a break or I'm on a work thing. I've got to do this 24 hours a day. And how do I do this? The sentence about the simple talk in our kitchen reminds me, you know, an alcohol, when I'm in my cups, when I'm in the food and I'm in self, I'm unlovely physically and in my personality, and I'm totally restless, irritable, and discontent. But the way it works is doing the step work with another recovered compulsive overeater, and that simple talk one-on-one between myself and other people who are recovered, who've worked the steps, did my step 10 yesterday, shared it. That's how it works. Otherwise, I perish. And if I do that, I can have happy, joyousness, and free, and I don't have to look externally, which is where I look further for my happiness, and it's right here and now, because for me, God is like now in this moment. I can't postpone step work. I can't postpone my recovery for tomorrow. With that, I pass.
And thank you, Eva P., and enjoy that sunshine down there in Florida. And next we have Anthony S. Good morning to you.
Good morning. This is Anthony S. And I basically want to share on this paragraph that I can apply it to myself in the sense that when I'm in the kitchen at times and I get that peculiar mental twist and I want to just start binging. I'm still early in the program. I'm on step 6 right now, and it happened to me some days ago. And I just remember what happened. It was so different to what I used to be, like before that happened. I remember, like, before I was thinking about calling people. I was thinking about going to a meeting. I was thinking about connecting with someone else somehow, being around other people, even if it's uncomfortable. And then when I got that twist and I started to act on it, I just wanted my dad to leave. Like, I remember my dad was around me. He was somewhere near the kitchen. He kept coming in. And I was just like, just go out, get away, in my mind. And whenever he left, I would start to binge on, I don't remember exactly what the food was, but it was a food that I know that I eat for a reason of altering my mental state. It's not because I'm hungry. And I just remember that, like, after a few minutes of that, I was like, whoa, that happens so fast. It's just like, and I knew it was coming before. I kind of felt it coming. It comes slow. It's insidious. I feel it in the background. And I'm learning, you know, as I go day by day in this program, just for today, I'm starting to learn how to catch it, you know, to catch that, you know, and know that even though the phone gets really heavy or even though I get uncomfortable around people, you know, and I feel like, oh, no, I don't want to, like, be a burden. They're not really going to help me. Like, you know, I just start to get those, like, real feelings. They are real. But that's not true, though. Like, the truth is, jumping into other people and being helped gives other people an opportunity to help, and that's how they recover. Because the way that this program works is sometimes I have to be, you know, I'm so early in this, sometimes I have to be so humble or so, like, willing to be the one that is helped in order to work the program. Like, there are times that I'm so vulnerable, and I just have to pick up the phone and just call. And if they say, how are you? I have to be like, I am not doing well. And suddenly that gives them an opportunity to help me. I'm getting urges. You know, suddenly it gives them an opportunity to help me. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Anthony S. And we encourage you to keep coming back. We have time for a few more shares. Who would like to comment on what was read for approximately 3 minutes?
Dinesh,
W, I heard Leah M, and I heard somebody with a W.
No,
likely
this is
W.
FM.
I couldn't hear it. I have Lynn S and Leah M. Anyone else?
This is Rachel calling from Israel.
I heard a male voice.
David E.
David E. That's who I heard. Okay. Okay, we have Lynn S., David E., and Leah M. Good morning, Lynn S.
Good morning. This is Lynn S., recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. An alcoholic in his cups is an unlovely creature. Faith has to work 24 hours a day in and through us, or we...
Lynn, if you're speaking, we don't hear you.
Hi, sorry, Santa, I was having technical difficulties. Lynn S., a recovered compulsive overeater from Toronto, Canada. An alcoholic in his cups is an unlovely creature. Faith has to work 24 hours a day in and through us, or we perish. Most of us feel we need look no further for utopia. We have it with us right here and now. That sort of summarizes my weekend. I was in my cups of self-centeredness, selfishness, self-reliance, self-pity, negativity, judgmental. Everything was just, it's like the domino effect. Like, I was so negative and nothing was going right, and I was in collision with everything and everybody. And I almost love that when it happens, really, because when I can see my life on the bottom left-hand paragraph of a page in the big book, I know it's the disease happening. And I was perishing because the faith has to work, but in order for the faith to have to work, I have to do the work. And I was starting it and stopping and starting and stalling, but what is so wonderful about it is doing the work, I don't have to look around. I don't have to sign up for another course. I don't have to do, you know, this will make it better or that will make it better. What made it better was talking to people, continuing to plug through that tenth step stuff, being scared to death and whiny and, you know, do you like me now kind of a thing, but sort of being able to get all past that. And I still don't feel stellar, I must admit. You know, I feel kind of battered and abused, and somebody texted me and said, don't sit through the turbulence. And I thought, boy, that's what it feels like. I'm in this plane with the seatbelt on and I'm banging all over the place. But getting the work done, it's the only way that I will get myself right and get that alignment right with God and then myself and then with others. And that shows me that everything that I need to be able to live life, not on Lynn's terms, which is awful, and not on life's terms, which is better, but there's still, you know, it's still not so comfortable, but to live life on God's terms, to me that's utopia, and that's here right now, and all I have to do is the work. And I'm so glad to see it summed up in these three paragraphs. And with that, I'll pass.
And thank you, Lynn S. And good morning to you, David E.
Hi, this is David E. in Alpharetta, Georgia, grateful, recovering overeater, compulsive overeater. Thank you for your service, Santa. The paragraphs here really strike me today. particular alcoholic in his cups, as a number of folks have said on this call, is an unlovely creature, and it definitely would describe my own experience in the past several days. And at the same time, I'm struggling with and observing my self-destructive behavior. I'm noticing and acknowledging how self-centered, how utterly self-centered it all is. And in my life experience, not just like my current experience as David E., volunteering serves to remove the focus from David quick, fast, and in a hurry, and help gain perspective just like that. So when I see each day my friend's simple talk in our kitchen multiplies itself into a widening circle, I'm reminded of that. And even as I was listening this morning, I texted one of my buddies in my group, and I've got a medium-sized list of folks I'm going to just reach out to today, every hour or couple of hours, and just see how folks are doing rather than just focus on myself. So grateful David E. here. With that, I pass.
Okay, and thank you for your service as well, David E. And next we have Leah M. Good morning, Leah.
Thank you very much. You know, when I read this, there's a vast amount of fun about it all. Some may be shocked at our seeming worldliness and levity, but just underneath there is deadly earnestness. You know, when recovered people gather, you know, I remember in our community in Minnesota, you know, when people would ask, where is the meeting room? I would always tell them, just follow the laughter. And ain't that the truth? You know, it's the laughter of freedom. It is the laughter of freedom. However, you know, underneath that freedom is deadly earnestness. You know, I don't know about you, but I never wanted to be a compulsive overeater, and this may surprise you, but my life goal was not to be here every morning. I had other thoughts for myself, but this disease beat me to a bloody pulp. And so every day I am on a life and death errand, and that life and death is my own. And even though it's been 3 decades now, you know, I am who I say I am. I am a real compulsive overeater, and this faith that has been developed through implementing these steps over the course of time is a faith that has to be reflected in the action, in the self-sacrifice, and in the work. You know, there's no graduation to this process. And I just, you know, for a while in the OA rooms, 5 years to be specific, I just didn't get it. I didn't understand that lack of spirituality was the problem. I didn't get it. I kept thinking more fellowship, more tools. I didn't realize that what I needed was a profound alteration in my reaction to life, and that was going to be possible as a result of implementing these steps on a daily basis, day in, day out, and being able to tap that unsuspected inner resource. You know, all the ease and comfort that I was desperately digging for in cellophane bags and boxes, I realized over the course of time, as the steps began to have their way with me, that I was finding that ease and comfort in a relationship with power. That's why I don't compulsively overeat today. If I hadn't found it here, I'd still be looking for it out there, or I'd be dead somewhere, that's for sure. But you see, the reason I don't compulsively overeat today is because I don't need to compulsively overeat. I get all the things I was looking for in this relationship with power as a result of the work and continuing the work every day. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Leah M. And we have a minute remaining, and I'll go ahead and take this last minute. Wow, what was coming up for me is, I'm going to try and say it all in 1 minute here, is I reflect back on my experience back in 2014. It was a very difficult year for me when my ex-husband died from just our disease that we all just talk about. And then the end of that year, my best friend
who was my food buddy, and we were both very overly weighed. And I would look back, remember trying to get her to turn back to OA, and she actually was not interested. But then I remember the call that I made to a fellow that's on his line right now, and he, I was sharing with him, you know, I was at that crossroad. I had just finished completing the steps, newly recovered, and I was really questioning my recovery. And he opened up this book, and he took me to this section where it says, most of us need to look no further for utopia. We have it right here and right now. And so 3 years later, I am so grateful to know that I've gotten past that and that I don't have to look no further for utopia and that I have it right here, right now, and it's written inside of me. And I carried it around with me. And I, you know, I carried the memories of the poor chaps that committed, quote unquote, suicide because they couldn't see our own way of life. And I'm just so grateful for this experience and so grateful to be where I am at today. And with that, we will close this meeting. And thank you to everyone who has shared. Please join us for the second unrecorded hour of studying immediately following closing. The share ID for Monday, March 20th, 2017, is 9741. 9741. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer, where Judy S., please read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Keep you until then.
Good morning. This is Judy S. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from upstate New York. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right. Great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.